Welcome to the Fanboy Factor Podcast. I am your friendly neighborhood J-Man. With me is our resident comic book historian, Brian Isaacs. Brian, how's it going, man?
I'm doing good, sir. How are you?
Not too bad. So we all have wound down this year, 2014.
Yep. Wow, what a year.
What a year. So let's say you and me, we do kind of a best worst kind of thing. We'll keep the category short because
yep.
I'm sure we'll both have a lot to say about it.
Oh, yeah, I think so.
Yeah? Okay, cool. So let's start off with the best movie for 2014.
Comic book related.
Yes, of course. Exactly. So, want to go first?
Yeah, sure. For me, I gave it a lot of thought, and it still came down to, Captain America, the Winter Soldier.
Nice.
I really loved this film. Chris Evans was great. I just felt it didn't really feel like a superhero film. It felt more like I was watching, one of the Bourne films, and just happened to have a guy in costume.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't perfect. One of the things that kind of bothered me that somebody pointed out to me later on was everybody kept saying, I'm going to go with – maybe it was you who pointed it out to me. I'm going to go with Captain Rogers.
Okay.
And it kind of bothered me that they didn't call him Captain America, but someone
said – Oh, yeah, we did talk about that.
Yeah, I think – it was you who said that so it could work in the foreign market. I'm like, okay. Right. You got me there, but I thought it was a perfect movie. It was a really great action film.
Have you seen it recently? Have you watched it again recently?
I've watched it now several times.
Yeah, really? Okay, cool.
I like it a lot. Like I said, it's not perfect, but I find it, a good action film. Good performances, strong, there are some continuity issues. I mean, it's not a perfect film, but, out of all the comic films that came out this year, I thought it was the strongest one of all.
Cool.
How about yourself?
Well, it was a tie between that and Guardians of the Galaxy.
I can see that.
I had a hard time deciding, and then last week I got Guardians of the Galaxy on disc.
Right.
And just through serendipity, my son and I watched it, and I love that movie. So that's my movie of the year, Guardians of the Galaxy. Just like you said, not a perfect movie. People, this and that, but to me, you sit down and it is a fun movie. I mean, there's across the board, there's a little bit of emotion to it.
You're right.
The characters are good. Yeah, Ronan could be fleshed out a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with Nebula. A little two-dimensional, but I don't know. It was a good movie.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, that's what I was going back and forth. I was going back and forth myself, and I just happened to lean towards Captain America. I mean, those two were definitely the best comic films, I think, of the year.
And it's funny when I don't know if what kind of conversations you got into, but I've talked to some people, and it really, Guardians has, to me, a Star Wars feel to it. It's more, I guess, like an homage to Star Wars.
Yeah.
And some Star Wars fans, they bristle at that. They're like, this is no Star Wars. I'm a Star Wars fan.
Yeah, so am I. I mean, that's how I explain it to people when they ask about it. And they're like, I say it's a Marvel movie, so they're like, oh, it's a superhero film. I go, no, it's more like Star Wars, but with a sense of humor.
Yeah, it's not Star Wars, and to me, it's not Star Wars for a new generation because there's only one movie so far.
Yeah.
But it's got that feel of funness to it.
Yeah, definitely.
I don't know. It's an all-around, it's a good movie.
Yeah, it was just, the original Star Wars was an adventure, and that's what Guardians was.
Man.
Yeah, Guardians is an adventure. That's what it is.
You got people doing their journeys. They're changing over their journey.
Mm-hmm.
There's humor in it. It's not this, oh, my God, I'm so, depressed and... my parents died and whatever. It's his mom died at the beginning and it didn't make him this figure. You know what I mean? Like this miserable, unhappy person.
I mean, for God's sakes, I mean, after that, the next main scene, it's a dance number on a deserted, rotting planet.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Yeah. And it's funny because now that we're talking about it, there's been a lot of commentary about, and I don't want to delve into it till maybe later, but Tim Burton was saying about these movies being dark and depressing. And we'll get to that later.
Yeah,
let's plow through our list.
And we yeah,
stuff later. Okay, so what about your worst movie of the year? Comic book related.
I couldn't. I happened to get a screener copy. I started watching it 5 minutes in, and I shut it off.
So what is it?
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Wait, seriously, how far did you get into it?
Probably about 10 minutes, honestly.
Did you really?
I couldn't take it. It was just like, it was bad. I mean, I'm going to say yes, I did go in there jaded. You know, I usually don't do that, but I just couldn't help it. Mm-hmm. You know, part of me was curious, but I just couldn't take it. I just was just like, done.
Yeah.
I don't need to watch this.
We are in agreement. Worst movie, Turtles. And I paid for it. I took my boys to see it over the summer.
What?
At the movie theater. And really, the first hour, I struggled to stay awake. The second hour was better. It was good. And by good, I'm being generous, of course.
Can we just...
But it was just not, it wasn't a strong movie.
Oh my God, please stop.
I feel kind of bad for all the people that are Turtles fans.
Oh, good. Well, yeah, it's funny because the first live-action film is on demand.
Yeah.
My son made me suffer through that one. I was just like, oh, my God, I don't remember this being that painful either. I remember it a little better.
That's just like the Trickster costume, Mark Hamill's Trickster costume. That was the 90s. It was early 90s.
So yeah.
It was a different time. 20 years ago.
I know. 20 plus years ago. I know.
It's tough watching these things.
It's just like some things, like anything, some things will stand the test of time, and other things, nope. It was good when you saw it as a kid, and that's about it.
Absolutely. Agreed. All right, so next let's go on to TV shows. What was your favorite TV show of 2014?
I'm sorry, call me a suck-up, but I got to go with Arrow.
Sorry, you're apologizing already?
I got to go with Arrow.
Okay.
You know, I always talk to Guggenheim, and we had him on the show, and I love Arrow. You know, three seasons in, you know, two and a half, technically.
Yeah.
But I just love where the show is going. I just think it's a superhero show done right. I think other shows could learn a lot from it.
Mm-hmm.
The name dropping is subtle. It's not in your face. The action is very well done. For the most part, he keeps the freaking mask on.
Yes. Thank God, man. What's your highlight? What was the highlight of the season so far?
Oh, it was...
Actually, you got last season and this season, because it's both 2014.
Yeah. Wow.
Canary showing up?
No, honestly, I think it was Roy in the costume.
Yeah, that's cool.
And that's just because, yeah, I as I've said on, you know, several times before, it's just, you know, I'm a big fan of the original Teen Titans, so to see Roy in the costume is just like, so that was my highlight of the season so far.
You know, I wasn't real sure how I would feel about him as a character and as an actor, but I like him a lot. I like Roy. I hope they, and they will, they'll develop him.
Oh, yeah, he's got to be on this, you know, it's already been announced that he's going to be, you know, I guess Ollie's going to be out of commission due to obvious reasons for a couple episodes.
Yeah.
So everybody's saying, you know, even Guggenheim's saying that Roy's going to end up stepping up.
That's cool.
So it's going to be really interesting to see.
I hope he keeps the red on and doesn't go to green.
No.
His costume better than Ollie's.
Oh, yeah. Ollie's is just very basic, very...
Yeah, well, it's what he wore on that island, mm-hmm. or less.
But yeah, it's definitely a better costume, so be interesting to see what happens.
Yep, got a whole other half a season to go.
Yep.
In a month.
How about you?
Mine's The Flash.
Oh, knew it.
Yeah, I like Arrow, like you, mm-hmm. but to me this was no contest. The Flash, I watched The Man in the Yellow Suit again, and... It's, I don't know. And it's funny because, again, we talk about this all the time, how we saw the screener way back when in early summer. And we were both like, yeah, it's cool, but, you know, not that we had our doubts. But
yeah.
We both knew Arrow. And to me, it's really, not only is it living up to expectations, it's exceeding.
Oh, I agree with you there.
Exceeding expectations.
Yeah, I mean, the main character does a great job. It's
and he's really, again, I wasn't sure about him, really showing some growth.
Yeah. I mean, I fully agree. It's just, it was brought up on the two-parter, you know, all the happy little names and stuff like that.
Yes.
I still don't like Cisco. I can't help it.
Yeah.
But, you know, I agree with you that, you know, there's a large amount of growth with the character, mm-hmm. and he's still growing.
Yeah.
And at the same time, he's being manipulated, which is a lovely thing.
Yeah.
So it's just, I can't wait to see where that show goes.
Were you and I talking about Wells and somebody, did you say that Wells might not be bad?
That wasn't me.
It wasn't you?
So nah.
I must have read it somewhere. Somebody was saying that he may not be bad. And I didn't necessarily just subscribe to it, but, you know, it's we're so early in the show.
But he stabbed a guy!
I know. How well, you know, good as a loose term. How many episodes have we seen so far? I was trying to figure it out.
I think about 13.
Right? I thought it was more than 7.
Yeah. It's definitely, so. I think about 13. I mean, I still go with my theory that he's more, that his character is more based on the, you know, the profiler Zoom than the one from the future.
Mm-hmm.
But there is some kind of tie there, I think, obviously, because he didn't kick the crap out of Eddie.
I am not looking forward to Barry finding out that Wells is involved with this.
I know.
I hope it's not this season. Because Barry still needs him. Well, he needs, I should say, to me, Barry still needs guidance.
Yeah.
And the guidance that he's getting, maybe a little tainted from Wells, but he's still getting it from Wells.
Yeah, it's not all that evil what the way he's preparing him. That's
right.
What is the motivation here?
Yeah, yeah. Good show. All right, what's your worst TV show?
Oh, I had a tie.
You had a tie?
I had a tie.
I wonder if it's, we both have the same shows. Go ahead.
Come on.
Are you going with a tie, or did you pick a winner?
I couldn't decide.
Okay, go ahead.
I was going back. All right, Gotham.
Okay.
And Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, really?
Gotham is just, as I've been complaining, all, you know, since it started, it's just the constant shoehorning of the Batman mythos. That story is just, is getting lost.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it does have some highlights to it, you know, like, it's definitely becoming more of Penguin's show, but it's... I still can't get past of that guy carrying the ATM machine. It just looks so fucking campy.
Have you noticed in DC's comics they have been promoing Penguin, Gotham, but in the cartoon style, in the comic book style?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, they took some images, like a shot overhead of him, of our Gotham Penguin. And, you know, it's a comic book. It's a drawing of him.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty interesting.
You know, that's my main thing. Is they need to stop introducing characters.
Yeah.
The other week, I posted 10, you know, if you, you know, please stop that. But, you know, if we're going to go there, here's a bunch that should be added.
Did you get any feedback on that?
Oh, God, no feedback.
Actually, it was a pretty good list. Court of Owls.
Court of Owls, I'm telling you, we've discussed it before. I really think it would be interesting to see that there is something else besides the mob in play here.
Yeah, controlling the mob or over the mob, yeah.
And since we already went there with the ATM, I'm just like, fuck it, let's just bring Clark Kent into it. I'm sorry, it's...
Hey, I don't have a problem with that either. Somebody I'd like to see shoehorned in.
We went there, you know, I could understand if you saw the guy get into a steroid rage and muscle out and stuff like, you know, Bane did.
Yeah.
But... He was a skinny guy carrying this thing. Where's the strength coming from?
Yeah. All right, well, okay, then what about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
One of the most overhyped pieces of shit around. Oh, my fucking God. The Marvelites. Oh, my God.
Wait a minute. Now, wait, let me ask you something. Is it the show that bothers you, or is it the fanboys that bother you?
No, it's the show that bothers
you. Okay.
It is like... I like Josh Whedon.
Mm-hmm.
I like his shows. He's very good at ensemble pieces.
Yep.
I care nothing about any of these characters.
Nope.
I could care less.
Me too.
You want to improve the show? Kill them all.
I love that. start over again.
And the other fact is just like, can we, it's like there's, this is where they need to learn from Arrow and throw the fans a bone. Just name these characters after comic counterparts.
I wonder why they're not.
I don't know.
It's kind of weird.
And of course, the only one we got was a fucking Bendis character. No, twice a Bendis character. It's just like a crap. I am not enjoying this show, and everybody's just like, oh, it got better after Winter Soldier. No, it did not. You're fooling yourself.
Yeah.
The only reason I watch it is because of the nature of it, because it is in our realm. It's just, I want to know what's going on.
And you're hoping.
I'm hoping, and it's just, the finale was such a letdown. They're pushing the show so hard.
Yep.
You're not going to say there's no Disney influence, and why is there a comic coming out with these same characters in there being written by one of the best writers out there and drawn by one of the best artists?
Well, because it's being pushed.
Yep. No Disney influence there.
Nope. Oh. None.
The effects are crappy. The characters are crappy. It's just, I care nothing for it, and it barely ties into the Marvel Universe. It really does.
Okay.
What about you?
Well, I had two, and the reason I went with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. as well. But the reason I went with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is because my other one, Big Bang Theory, I don't watch.
Yeah, I kind of gave up on that show. It's
And to me, Big Bang Theory is awful.
Oh, God.
And I know people love it, and everybody who knows me says, oh, you love it, it's so funny, it's all blah, blah, and I'm like, to me, it makes us look bad.
It still makes
us look bad.
That's the funny thing, is everybody in our community hates, we loved it at first.
Yeah.
Because we thought we had a voice, and then, you know, how many seasons, was this the ninth season?
To me, it still mocks us.
It mocks us, there's no character development here. You know, it's just like Sheldon is the same character he was 9 years ago.
So,
where's the growth?
Yeah, because I don't watch it, I really didn't feel right making it the worst TV show. So I went with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And as we said last week, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is starting to grow on me a little bit more. I agree with you.
Like a fungus.
Yeah, exactly. The characters really just... It's not that they're not likable. They just have no. There's nothing to them. There's no depth.
Which I can't understand because you watch. It's just. I can't say I watched The Dollhouse, but it's just like every other Whedon show. It's just like I felt something for the characters immediately.
Yeah.
And this one, I'm just not connecting with any of the characters.
Now, is he a writer or is he just producing it?
Well, I think he created it.
Okay, so he doesn't have. So he probably doesn't have too much involvement with it.
Right.
What's this face? Coulson, I like Coulson as a character. But to me, I like him as... He can't run S.H.I.E.L.D. He's
a number two. He's always been a number two.
Exactly. He's what's his face is number two. Oh, God. Fury's number two.
And that's it. How,
Fury's just a dick. And Coulson is not.
No.
And that's why he... And Coulson has a subtle humor about him, a very dry humor about him. And I kind of worked against Fury. Everybody else, I don't know. I don't care. And maybe if they had a Maria Hill in there, I don't know. Like you said, maybe they had characters that were tied to the Marvel Universe. Maybe they care more, probably not.
This is what I also can't understand. It's just like, you know, where's my Valentina? Is it because Stranko? Do they have to pay a royalty for Stranko for that one? I don't know. It's just that's I want to see Clay Quartermain. I want to see Gaffer. I want to see Jimmy Woo. These are the characters. These are Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah. Now,
there's nothing wrong with using the names.
What they're doing that I do like, that the other shows really aren't doing, is that they're really not introducing what we don't like about Gotham, the flavor of the month, the villain of the month, or the villain of the week.
But they did in the first season.
Okay, the first season. But this season, they haven't really been doing that. They've been focused on this story arc, finding the yet unnamed Inhumans. And that, I'm trying to throw a bone here, is something that is not villain of the week.
Yeah, but at the same time.
I'm giving them something.
But
I feel bad I made it to my worst TV show.
This Hydra thing is just old already. It's just like,
yeah.
I've seen the entire Secret Underground hero thing. It's old. It's tiring.
Well, I know what you're saying, but I think I find the Shield being the way they were set up in Winter Soldier being this bad organization. I'm getting a little tired of that as well.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I guess in the movie, in Winter Soldier, it made absolute sense how it contrasted to Cap's optimism.
Right.
And I know they're just carrying on what happened in Cap, but
It's not translating well.
Yeah, exactly. I think I don't know what the answer is. If I did, then I probably would be writing a show.
Telling you, kill them all off. Start with some names people know. Throw the comic fans a bone here.
And put them in the uniform.
No, I could deal without the uniforms.
You can deal without the uniforms? Okay.
I don't have a problem with that. You know, it's just, you want to make it look real world, fine. I don't have a problem with that. I have a problem with the lack of names.
Do you think they, as a show, do you think that they should continue focusing less on, like, the superpower kind of thing and just deal with the espionage angle?
I don't know. I don't find either focus interesting.
Yeah. Okay.
It's just
for the show, but I mean, in general, like if they dedicated and they got some writers and they went sort of like a James Bond-ish kind of way, or keep carrying on what they started in the theme they started in Winter Soldier.
You got a team of six people.
Yeah.
Going after superpowered menaces.
Yep.
Look at the Avengers film.
Mm-hmm.
The army that was outside waiting for the Hulk.
Yeah.
So you're gonna tell me they're going after like these things, these unknown superhero, you know, things with only six people? I don't buy it.
Well, you're right. I don't know if I buy that, but I could see them doing either reconnaissance on these, where they're keeping tabs on, and maybe kind of apprehending lower power individuals.
Mm.
I don't know. We're just trying to
spitballing.
Yeah, like they should be doing. All right, let's move on.
All right.
What is your best comic for 2014? Now it can be individual issue or it can be.
This one I had to do a lot of thought because you know I admit that you know I'm really not buying regular comics anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And because the big two really haven't impressed me lately, and this book happened to come out. And the book is called Black Sad, and it's Black Sad Amarillo. What Black? Okay. This is a French comic book that Dark Horse helps put out.
Okay.
It is anamorphic animals.
Okay.
It is film noirish, kind of set in the 50s.
Okay.
Pretty much the main character, Black Sad, is a cat, and you know, he's a private detective, he was a soldier, and it's pretty much, you know, it's been like, there's four volumes out so far, and they're just so beautifully drawn, the artwork in them is just, it's amazingly painted, it's just, the artist is just amazing, it really doesn't look like funny animals. They're very serious books. Like I said, it's this hard-boiled detective type of thing.
How did you come across it?
I don't remember actually how I came across it. Somehow I just found it.
Yeah.
And I got curious, and I just fell in love with the character.
Hmm. What format does it come out in?
It only comes out in the compilations and in hardcover.
Interesting.
And this is the fourth book in the series, and like I said, it's amazing. It's just beautiful artwork. All the colors are, you know, depending on what the scene is trying to tell, it's just painted so beautifully, like, you know, on a bright sunny day, it's so nice and bright and crowded, like, dark, dim, like, dive bars. It's just the way they add the colors to it, and it's action packed. It's not so one dimensional. It's just a beautiful story, man.
Wow, What's it called again?
This issue is called, this one's called, the series is called Black Sad.
Okay.
This one is called Black Sad Armorillo, and in it, he just got off his last case, and he's trying to figure out what to do, so he ends up running in a bar to this rich guy who asks him to drive his car across the, from New York to Armorillo, Texas.
Okay.
And, he ends up running into some trouble along the way, and it's just, it's, like I said, it's just an amazing story.
Huh.
Definitely my pick for the year.
What was my follow-up to that? Oh, is it a team? Is there a writer and an artist, or is it just one person?
No, it's a writer and artist team.
Oh, interesting. I'm going to check that out, man.
Yeah, I can't speak French, but it takes...
It's translated, isn't it?
Yeah, it's translated. It takes a while for it to come out. I mean, it's just like, I go back and forth whether I'd like to, there have been offers to them about making an animated feature in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I go back and forth. I'm like, would that take something away from it? It's just, like, at the same time, it's just like you kind of want to see these characters. It's just, if you're a big fan of the hard-boiled detective, the series Black Sad is definitely for you, regardless of the fact it's kind of like up there with, it's the animals are just kind of a metaphor, kind of like a mouse is.
Yeah.
Where, Jews are, we're mice and that. It's just a detective story, but instead of using humans, he uses animals.
Hmm.
And it's just very well done.
Interesting. I'm going to check that out.
How about yourself?
Mine is, it was going to be Capullo's and Snyder's Batman.
I could see that.
Because it was...
That was an amazing run this year, I have to admit.
Yeah, man, it's really going to be tough seeing those guys go.
Yeah.
But at the last second, I went with my favorite Manhattan projects.
Oh.
Yeah. I just got in the mail the trade backs for 1 and 2, even though I had the books. I love this book so much. Hickman and Patera.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Again, it's like one of those things where you came across, I don't know how I came across it. I like history. I like that whole 50s era. I like the optimism of the era, but
right.
There was always that underlying, that optimism was there, but there was always something underneath that optimism, right underneath the surface. I don't know. It's a good book. It's, at times, it is hard to read.
But what's the overall plot?
It basically, the Manhattan Project, as you know, is a project how they got the atomic bomb up and running. So the premise of the Manhattan Project is, the guys that came up with the atomic bomb, they have access to all this alien technology, and they needed a front for getting away with these projects. So they came up with the atomic bomb as a front for doing all these other projects. And all the characters, and they're not characters, they're real people. Albert Einstein, Oppenheimer, oh, my God, the names are escaping me right now. But all historical figures are in this book, and it is one wacky book.
Wow.
It started well before 2014, but this is when I found it. And I believe they just wrapped up issue 25, and they're going to go – they're on hiatus. Hickman and Patera are on hiatus. They're supposed to be picking back up in March, and they're taking it. One of my concerns of the book is it starts really toward the end of World War II. And they have gone, in the 25 issues, they have gone through all the way up to Kennedy getting murdered.
Wow.
And to me, 25 issues, they covered a lot of ground, too much ground. So now that they're on hiatus, they said they're going to go – they're redirecting their focus, and I'm hoping they go back and they're going to go delve into things. I have a hard time recommending stuff because I'm kind of weird, but I love this book. It is. It's fun. It is out there. Oppenheimer is, he's literally crazy. And you wonder, because these are real life people, or they were alive at one point. I would love to sit down with Hickman and ask, does he, like, first of all, how much research did he do for this book? Because there's a ton of historical facts. It's sort of like the Titanic, the movie Titanic.
Right.
They take, you know, that one moment and made a movie out of it. But this is, Titanic is nowhere near as complex as this Manhattan Project is. So that's my pick for 2014.
I'll check that out.
What's your, I don't even know. I don't know why I'm asking this. What's your worst comic,
bro? Please, like, you have to ask.
Should we just bypass it?
God.
Brian, tell me, what is your worst comic?
Oh, my worst comic? That would be Multiversity by Grant Morrison.
Oh, my God, Brian, I'm so surprised.
Yes.
So is mine. That's my worst comic, so let's just get it all out there.
Okay, what a piece of self-indulgence crap.
I was at a comic shop yesterday, and I came this close to picking up Pax Americana, and I didn't. It's like watching, it's a train wreck. I want to see, and I went through this book, and it is just self-indulgent.
It really is. It's just, oh my God, it's just, he's playing with the medium, oh my God, it's just. He's too fucking stoned, and every idiot in the world's like, oh, Grant Morrison is the best. No, you're a fucking
he's
idiot.
He's like Homer Simpson right there.
Oh, God. My God.
You know what? What should be interesting is, in a couple years' time, to see what people say about this book.
Be interesting to see what people say about Grant Morrison in general.
Well, I who knows? I
don't get his appeal.
I don't get it.
I don't. It's like people are trying to convince themselves. It's just like, I've heard people say, oh, he's a smart writer and stuff. I'm like, no, he's not.
I still think we should put a call out there for somebody to come on and not really defend him, but sort of explain to us what they get out of A, Multiversity, and then B, Grant Morrison titles. Not to take them apart or anything like that, but just to explain to us the other side.
I say we do it. 2015.
Yeah.
I heard it here first, folks.
Yeah. If you want to come on, and we won't tear you apart.
We promise we won't tear you apart, but the gauntlet has been thrown.
I just want to have a discussion about, from somebody who digs Grant Morrison, likes his writing, and, you know, just wants to chat this out. It's the store that I go to, there was a guy who was a big Grant Morrison fan, but I have not seen him in a bunch of months now. If I ever see him again, I'm going to see if he wants to come on. Because he is a really big fan. Like, he tracks down number ones, gets them signed, that kind of fan.
God.
And we won't, you know, we'll hold punches. We're not going to tear anybody apart.
No, not unless they start in.
Yeah, unless you start it. If you bring it, then we're going to bring it.
Yeah.
So then let's get back. Let's go back to toys. What is either your best figure or your best toy?
Okay, my budget is tight these days. Here's the thing about trying to figure out the best toy. Is just like, you're probably like me. If you don't like it, you don't buy it.
Yeah, exactly.
So, and then it's a matter of, like, trying to figure out of the ones we did buy, mm-hmm. which one we like the best. So, after a lot of thinking, I'm going with the Diamond Select Winter Soldier Disney Store exclusive figure.
Nice. That was a good one.
That was a good one. This is, I did a write-up on it when it first came out, and it's not based on Steve Epping's designs.
Yeah,
it's based on Marco's, the cover artist for the Winter Soldier series designs, and he gave it a more real world look to it.
Yeah,
and that's what I just—he really looks like a soldier in real life. This is an amazing figure. It's one of the few figures I've ever had that comes with, you know, I can actually make him look like he's sniping somebody with a sniper rifle.
Yeah.
I mean, the points of articulation, you know, very nice. great number of accessories here to play with. This is a beautiful figure. It really is. And I'm just glad to have it in my collection. You know, a nice 7-inch figure is just, he's beautiful. And it's just lots of fun to play with. And like I said, just amazing design on it. So that is definitely my figure of the year.
I'm looking forward to Toy Fair and seeing what they've got in store for 2015.
Oh, they're going
to
blow our freaking heads, I think.
Especially with Age of Ultron, and I can't see them doing anything for Ant-Man, but I can't wait to see what they got.
No, like we discussed, we'll probably see in line. We'll see some mini-mage for Ant-Man, but yeah, I don't see a Diamond Select figure.
My figure, oh God, it was tough. It was tough.
Yeah.
I ended up going with a figure that just came out, Thrasher Suit Batman.
Is that the big armor one?
Yes, it is. And it's kind, me saying that is kind of, I don't want to say it's taking a risk, but it's a little risky because his face, his head sculpt, doesn't really go with the figure. At all. People say, and it's sort of right, that it's not a bad sculpt. It looks like a human. It looks like Bruce Wayne. It looks like a very young Bruce Wayne.
Right.
But it doesn't go with the figure. Like, the face, I think they could have either somehow aged a little bit and or maybe gave him some damage. That aside, the figure itself is fucking awesome. The armor, the articulation, the paint. You know, I'm not one of these guys. I always say this. When people start talking paint apps,
yeah,
my eyes glaze over. And I'm a toy guy. Now, unless they're really, really bad.
Yeah, that's how, unless it's sloppy.
Yeah, I mean, unless it's blatantly obvious.
Yeah.
Again, people, because I've seen people go off on paint apps. It's not me.
Yeah.
But good or bad, whether they're good paint apps, you just say it and I just start, okay, I'm going to go to sleep now. But on these figures and on the Mr. Freeze figure that came out the week prior, it's awesome. Now, DC Collectibles lately has had some quality control issues. You know, I don't get any money from DC Collectibles to talk about them. They do really great work.
Well, they've really stepped up their game.
Yeah, over the last couple of years,
yeah,
from going from DC Direct to DC Collectibles, they've had some misses. I'll talk maybe about the miss on my worst toy, but again, with the quality control, what are you going to say? They've addressed it, which we may discuss later on. It's still a great figure. I mean, their prices, they are, when you're spending $25 for a figure, you want it to work.
Right.
You don't want it to break. That's tough. It is. But they put out great work.
My issue is with, you know, it wasn't with the toy itself with you. It's just, I read the storyline that suit came in.
Yeah.
First off, it looks like it should be powered by steam.
It does. It does have that look to it.
And because I've seen them with other suits.
Yeah.
And the fact that just, like, pretty much swords went through it, I was just like, really?
Yeah.
I just had a problem with the suit in general. Not, you know, not knocking your
toy.
No,
it's... But as a figure, as a toy, it is...
As a toy, it really looks sweet as a toy. I mean, as, you know, pulling it from the pages to making an action figure, I think it really looks sweet. It's just, like I said, it's just... As a concept, I was just like...
It was weak.
It was very weak, I thought.
Yeah. Oh, and then getting back to his face, man, you put the helmet on, you can't even see his face. That's what I said to everybody, because I wrote about it. And that's really why I picked it. I mean, there's so many figures I could have.
I know, it's so hard with those toys. It really is.
Yeah.
That was the one I was struggling. That was the one thing I was struggling on.
I almost said the whole, any kind of DC Collectibles line, but then I say, I'm not a Stepford. I don't want to be a Stepford. I don't get any money from them. I buy my figures, but they do good work.
Yeah.
I mean, for the most part, their designs, the figures, the articulation, yes. I've had some quality. To me, what they do good definitely outweighs what bad.
Definitely.
So.
Totally agree with you.
So then, worst toy? What do you got?
All right. Worst toy. And these are only because they are the bane of my existence, and I felt like they led to the downfall of this entire line.
Yes.
The DC Universe collectibles, they're super powers figures.
Oh.
What, at $30 a pop, are you fucking kidding me?
Yep.
These, appealing to the stupid superpowers fans, I thought was the downfall of the fucking line to begin with. And then you end the line with these pieces of shit?
And like you said, that's a price point. You know what? I know it gets in your craw, so I'm going to bring it up. Somebody said that Riddler figure is their favorite figure. I don't know where I saw it. I don't know
if my God.
And I thought, I don't know where I was. Maybe I was on my phone and I saw it. I'm like, I got to show this to Brian because it will drive Brian nuts.
I just don't get it.
I don't get it either.
They make a figure. You know, first off, you know, it was a cheap knockoff.
Yeah.
To try and make the Riddler. They didn't have a mold.
Oh, God, I'm sorry.
They didn't have a mold to make the Riddler, so this pretty much...
That's the history of the figure.
That's the history. They repainted it. And then to make a 6-inch version?
Yeah.
Are you fucking kidding me?
They're paying homage to it. Huh. What about the gold suit of Superman? Is that worse?
That's worse.
I think, for me, I never got into that whole line. Again, when you're paying $20 for a figure, mm-hmm. You got DC Collectibles putting out something that's heads and tails above that, and it's $5 more, I go for the DC Collectibles one. Yep. That being said, the sculpts on those last three figures, last four figures you're talking about, to me, they're off.
I mean, please, it was just like the first three was just like a repaint.
Yeah.
And, you know, people finally happy that we finally got the right color blue on Superman.
Yeah.
And I was just like, okay, maybe I'll get it for my $30. Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah. Oh, and then Doomsday's still out there on the seas, right?
Oh, yeah.
What a way to end that line.
Yeah, we can get into that one later. I got theories about that one.
Oh, damn. Then we definitely got to talk about it. So my worst toy, I went with that. There was two lines. That generic Batman line that's out there that's not supported by anything.
Oh, God, that is the biggest pieces of crap.
And then Slash, Target has a Justice League line that's just Target exclusive. It's just basically repaints.
Oh, those are are you talking about the ones that look like they're it looks like they're the same molds of the Brave and the Bold?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They've got most of them are like repaints of those Brave and the Bold figures, but there's a couple other mishmash figures in there. Like they did a Cyborg figure that's mishmash.
Right.
And they've got a Wonder Woman figure that's from a totally different line.
Yep.
But I went with – that just drives me nuts. And since that's a Target exclusive, I went with that Batman – I don't even know what to call it. There's no tagline.
There was supposed to be a tagline. It was just like, first it came out as Batman. Then they said – I think they were going to call it, Batman Unlimited? You saw that.
Something like that.
Something like that. Because you and I were both in that fucking hot room.
Yes.
But it did have a different name.
Yeah.
And, you know, I reached out to Warner Animation. They denied. No, they would not – commit an answer, either yes or no.
Yeah.
So that is...
That may be the problem. Well, one of the problems with this line is that they don't have any kind of cartoon animated show to back it up, along with the tagline.
It was bad enough, like, the 5-inch figures were just like, okay, fine. But now all they're doing is pumping out these shitty 3-inch figures.
Yeah, terrible.
God, they look like ass. They really do.
And they're sort of based off, they look like they're based off at least the Superman figure is, off that fighting game that I cannot
remember. Injustice.
Yes. It looks God, like yeah. It's got that. I don't know.
What a waste of plastic.
I basically put on my blinders. I just, and the thing is, they put out a couple, like, multi-packs. They've got, for holiday, they came out with a Bane multi-pack.
Yeah.
And they came out with Clayface multi-pack earlier in the summer. I don't know. I'm with you. I think they could have put just a teeny tiny more effort into it.
Yeah, it's just...
Gave it a tagline, maybe gave it a cartoon network.
It doesn't look... It's just like... It's such... I don't even know how to describe it because it's not even a Batman from the comics.
But people must be buying it because when I go in there, I only ever see one or two figures hanging around. So somebody's buying them.
Probably short-packed.
Yeah, perhaps. So let's wrap up this 2014 with one more category.
Yes.
It's what I called, or what we decided to call, our most annual Grant Morrison Award for Confusion in Storytelling. That's the first annual Grant Morrison Award for Confusion in Storytelling. And the winner is Grant Morrison.
Oh,
I'll pipe in some music later on. Congratulations.
God.
Anything you want to add, Brian, about Grant Morrison winning this our first annual award?
Congratulations, Grant. You're a fuck-up.
You know what would be awesome if he came on this show, man?
Oh, God.
That would be so great.
I would not like it. I don't know how the conversation would be, but...
Oh, come on. We would both be like, oh, my God, come on. What are you doing?
Yeah.
Oh,
taking
man.
Drugs, Grant. God.
All right. Well, listen, we got a couple more minutes. You want to talk about some other... That was our 2014 best of...
Yes. Best and worst of...
2014. I'm looking forward to 2015.
Yes.
Toy Fair coming up in a month and a half. Really looking forward to that.
Summer's going to be awesome in terms of movies.
Movies. You got Age of Ultron coming up.
Yep.
Early, late spring. Ant-Man, which we really just still don't know too much about. That's
don't know too much about. No.
What else we got?
I think so far that's it for this year.
Yeah.
You know,
We got in April, we got Convergence, DC's, whatever they're going to do with that.
Yep.
Marvel's got Secret Wars.
Ay.
God, it's going to be, we'll be talking about this for a good long time.
Yeah. It's you know, and, you know, like we discussed a couple of weeks ago, new Bond film coming out in November. I'm a huge Bond fan, so I'm looking forward to that.
Star Wars at the end of next year.
The end of next year, yep, Star Wars. For any Despicable Me fans, there's a Minion movie.
Yep.
A new version of the Peanuts.
Yep.
Computer animation, which I'm kind of curious about.
Yep, I am too. Speaking of Star Wars, Star Wars number one, going back to Marvel.
Yep.
That comes out in January.
That seems to be a hot-selling book.
Hot-selling.
But, again, that's...
Pre-ordered, at least.
Yeah, that's only through the distributor. That's a little confusing, which I think we need
There's some stuff coming up.
Yeah, there really is.
Yeah.
All
right, let's move on.
Let's move on. Don't forget for new TV, which...
What's that?
Jesse and I will be discussing. Thank you very much, CW, but we have in our hands a copy of iZombie.
Oh, yes.
We do have it. And in a couple of weeks, Jesse and I will be discussing about it.
Nice.
Yes.
Very nice.
So we have been granted the honor to screen the first four episodes of iZombie.
Looking forward to it.
So we will have, we'll give you our feedback whether you should watch it or avoid it.
Yep. Just like we did with The Flash.
Just like we did with The Flash.
We told you to hang on to that Flash.
Damn straight.
Damn right.
So, now moving on.
You know what? I'm curious what your thoughts on that Doomsday figure was.
Well, it's not really a thought. It's understanding the process.
Yes.
I know a lot of people are very upset, but there's a lot of other factors going on.
Okay.
Bottom line, Mattel fucked up.
Okay.
This is not like something out to the story. Mattel fucked up. That was the bottom line.
Yeah.
Their projections, had to be a pre-order, right? If I'm not mistaken.
I believe so.
So why they couldn't get things on time is there had to be some issues. This is where things went wrong first. It got on the boat late, which means there was a production problem.
Okay.
Why there was a production problem, we're never going to find out. Was it a scheduling issue or was this, the first couple runs, pieces of crap. We're never going to find this out.
Okay.
What doesn't help also is there's a strike just ended over at the customs in U.S.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. On top of that, we're also talking the middle of the holiday season. That is customs most busiest time and nearly impossible to get anything through.
Well, that to me is poor planning on their
part. It is.
That part right there.
This is, I now, like I said, this is not a defense of Mattel. This is Mattel somehow, they totally screwed up, but there are, I'm just trying to explain some of the factors that are also involved, why, you know, why it's taking so long. Mm-hmm. And that's all I'm doing. I'm not defending Mattel at all. Not on this one.
That's cool.
You know, they screwed up. They should have got their shit together in the first place. And, you know, got this. They knew what the numbers were. Since it was a pre-order, there should have been no excuses.
I saw that there was some sort of update this week. Did you catch what that was?
Just, they were blaming the strike in L.A.
Oh, is that what they're doing? Okay.
Yeah.
So did they give any kind of ETA?
No, of course not.
Okay.
They just said soon.
Okay. Well, look, this is the last figure. I mean, Masters of the Universe is winding down. The future of Maddie Collector, whatever they're going to call it, should be interesting if it exists at all.
But, you know, again, it's just like, here's the other thing that people don't realize. That they think once it gets to Maddie's doors, it's going to be shipped out again. You know?
No.
No, it's going to, it could sit on Maddie's doors, yeah. And, you know, legally, they'll
somebody else is doing that. Digital River is doing shipping, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, they'll still send it out 2 days, but it doesn't mean they picked and packed in 2 days.
Right.
And speaking of Maddie, I'm not too sure if you caught on around the web that Toy Guru just caught another gig.
Yeah, I did see that.
Working over at Jack's Pacific.
Yeah, that's interesting.
And somebody said it's just like all the great lines they have, and I'm looking at Jack's Pacific's lineup, and I'm like, I don't think so.
Well, the first thing I thought was, what are they putting out anymore? And then I think one of the articles I saw was they do those larger size figures. True or no?
I think
like
so.
Like the larger size Star Wars figures. I thought that's what I read. I could be wrong.
But what they got is Power Rangers.
Right.
Big. It's and I know a lot of people.
Really, that is a big line, though.
That is a big line. That is a big show. It's been, you know.
Ever.
Yeah, it's. I think it's a load of crap.
Of course.
You know, it's just, I think it's like the stupidest damn show.
Yeah. I love it, though. It's karate.
It's like, oh, my God. I'm not too sure if you ever watched it. It's just like, my son started watching it when we blocked it from Netflix.
Yeah, I was just saying, good luck, man. You're going to be riding that for years.
Yeah, it's just, it's funny because you see them fighting, then all of a sudden they go into another thing, and all the store, you know, all the signs are over in Japanese.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, this is just,
Yeah, it's, I don't know, the kids love it, man. It really is because of all the karate.
Yeah.
My kids, they signed on to it, and they got the figures, and I remember watching whatever channel's running it, marathons of the Power Rangers.
Painful. It is just so painful.
And what I find really funny is how people follow the Power Rangers, the original Power Rangers today.
I know.
It's, wow, it's awesome.
Yeah, I got a friend who's just like, knows like the Green Ranger, I think. I'm just,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Hey, listen, I got a question for you that's not really comic book related.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm curious what your opinion is. You caught this whole thing, I know you caught this whole thing with the interview.
Yes.
Sony decided to pull the plug on it. What's your take on all that?
Okay, first off, I don't like Seth Rogen.
Okay.
So, I couldn't have thought of a better, I'm totally against censorship, but, you know, if they were going to pull this film, that shouldn't have been the reason.
Okay.
They should have pulled it because it's Seth Rogen. He's not funny.
Okay, let me throw my two cents in here. It's funny because I'm wrapping up my internet show, mm-hmm. and I did a little bit about this. And I don't know if you saw any of the emails, the leaked emails about the show, about the movie. But they said like the third act was unfunny. I think the exact words were spectacularly unfunny. So I'm wondering, and because I can be a little bit of a conspiracy theorist, if maybe somebody was taking advantage of the situation and they knew this movie was awful, and they just decided to pull it.
I don't know. It's just a lot of things are going through my head. Like, didn't some Sony executive say, "So you want to kill who?" Say, "Is this a bad idea?"
I don't know, man. That's what I was thinking. I don't know who wrote this movie.
They did.
The two of them did, right?
The two of them did.
I don't know. I used to think that they were, both of them were funny. I think they're both becoming very annoying.
See, Franco, I feel, has acting chops. I've seen Franco in multiple other things where he's played different types of characters.
I understand.
And I think he's got...
Did you see that movie, 128 Hours?
Yeah, that was powerful.
Yeah, I mean, great in that movie. I don't, to me, anymore, he's walking a line.
Yeah, it's just...
I don't know if it's shtick with him or what.
For Rogan, it's always the same character over and over and over. He's unfunny. He's monotone. He's not... I don't understand why he's popular.
I don't know. But I do remember seeing those trailers a couple times in the theater. I think it was probably in front of Guardians of the Galaxy.
And
I remember thinking, this does not look the least bit funny.
No, it doesn't. It looks stupid. And I don't understand why this film got made.
Yeah, I don't know either.
It just looks like such a piece of crap. It's not even funny.
And I got paid for it, too.
Oh, God.
I'm just curious what your thoughts on were the whole thing, because it was throughout the week we didn't really talk about it.
Honestly, my honest thoughts, regardless of my opinion, I feel Sony was worried about their bottom dollar. They like to say, claim, you know, it had to do with what their... my theory is they were worried about if this Sony film gets banned, then all Sony films are going to get banned.
Mm. Bottom line.
Yeah, I really feel that's the case. They panicked. They caved. They shouldn't have caved. But they were worried about what it was going to do, you know, to everything.
They are a major corporation, man.
Right. They're worried about their profits. And, I get it. I get it. You're a corporation. But, you know, hey, what are you going to do?
It's a stupid movie. People make such a big deal about it. And I get the whole... censorship thing, and even stupid movies, blah, blah, blah. But Brian, man, it's a stupid... I mean, literally, it looks like a stupid movie.
It really does. From the things I've seen so far, and just, like, it just... It looks...
Yeah, it's not like it was, 30 Years a Slave, that movie.
Yeah.
It's, like, not some profound movie that... I don't know.
Two idiots trying to kill, you know.
Yeah. I mean, and really, somebody didn't say, is this, like you said, is this a really good idea? You want to talk about something else? We're kind of over time. Anything else you want to press on?
Well, you and I both wish, you know, for those who haven't heard, longtime Batman artist Norm Bathola suffered a stroke, and we do wish his, speedy recovery.
Any kind of update on him?
I haven't heard of anything yet.
Yeah.
I haven't. Yeah, I've been following it, and there really hasn't been an update. He's the one who gave us, Batman Holy Terror.
Mm-hmm.
He did a lot of things with the Batman mythos. You know, a lot of great... He was the one who first helped create Mr. Zazz.
No kidding.
Yeah. So, you know, I think I speak for both, you know, Jesse and myself. Yes. We wish you a very speedy recovery, Norm. Yeah. Get back in there, man.
Absolutely, man.
But I think that's it, man.
Yeah. All right.
I hate to wrap up on a bummer note.
It needed to be said. We probably should have opened with it, but
yeah,
we were all excited about our 2014 list.
Yes, very much, sir.
All right, well, let's, everybody, let's have a great 2015, put 2014 to rest.
Yep, it's in the can.
Yep, a little bit of a tough year, I think, for everybody. Let's take 2015 and show what it's all about.
Definitely.
What do you got going on? You got anything this week, or are we just riding this out?
I'm just riding this out for the rest of the week.
Yeah, that's cool. I should, by this listening, I should have a new internet show up.
Very cool.
Which I'm really looking forward to. Other than that, you can check me and Brian out on CatsersCorner.com.
Always.
And, of course, on the FanboyFactor.com. Easy for me to say. Check out our old shows.
And we're on iTunes and Stitcher.
Yup.
For your listening pleasure.
Subscribe.
And take us on the go.
Yes. Got those cell phones. Might as well listen to us.
Yeah, a lot of people taking vacations now.
Yep.
While you're at the beach. Right,
spend your vacation with us.
Yeah. Lie on the beach, read your book, and listen to us.
Yep. Brian, have a great 2015, man.
You too, sir.
I'll talk to you soon.
Later.